Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Benroy Turner.
I am for sale if anyone would like to buy me. Phil Spencer, wink, wink.
Many billions of dollars. And Josh Brown.
I'd take like 50 quid. You don't even need to spend 50 billion on me. 50 quid, that'll do me.
I can't actually, it's been a week since the biggest news in gaming history dropped. And anyone who's listening to this who hasn't checked last week's pod out, go listen to the end of that where we try and carry on with the podcast as it was. We were at the end anyway. But very much reacting in real time to the fact that Xbox / Microsoft had bought Activision, and that's just dominated the news cycle for a week solid so far. So we're gonna do an Xbox podcast because we did a PlayStation 1 last week. We might do a Nintendo 1 next week, but we thought because it is the end of January, we might as well check in with the various console makers and see what their various plans are. Obviously, the news from last week very much dictated how this Xbox podcast is gonna go. So I'm just gonna have an open question, and we can talk about this some more. We can pick up different angles on it, and I do have some things to get to in regards to what all of Xbox's main, most important, biggest developers are all working on. But yeah, do you guys think that the Game Pass model, the monthly payment thing, is the future? Do you think that is the next big innovation, just because of the amount of money that is now behind it?
Oh, I think it's a future. Like, I don't know if we'll see it implemented across the board, but I feel like, you know, they're going to absolutely dominate this conversation for the next few years. They're going to be like Netflix was, you know, when Netflix was first starting. Mm-hmm. And all the other studios were hesitant to adopt that model. And it took them quite a few years to catch up before the likes of Disney and stuff, you know, jumped on board. Or even Amazon, to an extent, properly went all in on it. And I feel like that's going to be Xbox for a while. I think it is the future, but it's not going to be cemented for a couple of years yet. I think we're still at the start of it. We're still at that, you know, early Netflix period of it. And for me, I just hope it's kind of like the cinema thing is right now. You know, I hope these two different mediums almost can coexist. I hope we can have streaming, hope we can have Game Pass, hope we can have downloads on that on one hand, but also being able to go out and just buy a game and have things through the regular channels that way as well.
Just super, super quickly before I ask Mr. Benroy, when was the last time either of you guys bought an Xbox game? Since Game Pass came into fruition, have you largely lent on Game Pass?
I have not bought an Xbox game since Tomb Raider, the second one,
right,
Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Pretty demonstrable as to how things have shifted.
I remember Benroy telling me that I could get Gears of War 5 on the Game Pass Ultimate. That was the first thing that made me jump in, and I've never stopped it since. That was like the one where I was like, okay, I'm all in on this now. But no, I've not physically bought an Xbox game in a long time. And usually when there is something out that I like for Xbox, Death's Door, for instance, or, you know, something that
what
came out
game.
Last year, I'll even wait until it comes to Game Pass.
And then you still won't play it, but at least it's there.
I won't, but at least it's there.
I the last game I bought for Xbox was Gears 4, surprisingly. Because before that, I did, because you can, if you got a friend that you play games with or you just know a lot, you can do the weird thing where you just, one of you bought a game and the other one bought a game and you were just sharing. So I lived off my friend's Gears 4 for years until, like, I was like, it's time for you to move on. I'm mainly on PlayStation. I'll just buy Gears 4. Bought it, played it then once afterwards. And then after that, it's been Game Pass the whole time. I've even got the Series S that doesn't have the disc slot because I just figured I wouldn't need it. I mean, I can't put a lot of 360 games in there, but I mean, we can all get around that somehow. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I haven't bought an Xbox game since forever. And I have Game Pass, but I like to call it my Gears 5 tax because it just, everything comes along with this tax that I'm paying for this game. And it's weird because when you think about what the, rolling back to what you're saying first, Scott, about what will be the future, I don't think this one model will suit all. I think this one model suits a massive company that built their empire on Word. So they just have all these coin, all these coins laying about, and they're always going to have them laying about because they're at this point now where if like a company like Microsoft got so big and then started to fail, like governments would have to step in and make sure they don't fail because they're so important to so much of the, like infrastructure in our even inside and outside of gaming. Like they're just so crucial at some points now. It's like they're almost undefeatable. But I feel like if PlayStation, whatever they do, where they jump in, I feel like they're more of like an Amazon Prime model, maybe, where it's like this is here, but this one over here is also free with Prime. You know what I mean? When you have like a selection of stuff you can watch, and they rotate in and out a bit more, and maybe where they get to the point where they rotate in like a Capcom channel, you know, like they do with Shudder and things like that, where you get their little bits in there for a bit and then you zoom out. But I feel like Microsoft are just going to go either. I think they'll always have one model and they'll just raise the price a little bit because they're about time because Netflix just went up the other day. But yeah, I feel like Microsoft are going to do what they can because they got all that money and Sony are going to have to sort of screw around.
Josh, you raised the hand. Amazon. Yeah, sorry. I was going to, like Ben Roy mentioned there, like the Amazon kind of approach of, you know, it's a streaming service, but also it has things for you to buy and for you to rent. And for me, when it comes to movies, like that's the model that I actually prefer. Like I've got Netflix, I've got Amazon, but I use Amazon more and I actually use it to rent things more because whilst I like having a curated selection of things, you know, pushed my way, I also know what I want and I don't want to mess around kind of like just dabbling in this, dabbling in that. I would rather go to something like Amazon and rent a new movie rather than wait for it to come on a streaming service or just use something else I have. For me personally.
Yeah, man. Well, the whole, like, I think that the Netflix Prime approach is like, that's what I've got too, because it's like you get the new exclusives, whatever the market leader is, the sort of like dominant, the whatever the new TV show, whatever new movie's doing the rounds, chances are it's going to be on Netflix at some point if it's one of their exclusive things that a lot of people are talking about. But if you're a film fan in this context, you think of something, chances are it's on the Amazon marketplace and you can find it and then rent it. And I feel like that's the best way to do things. Like you've got, like, you know, if this we apply it across to gaming, you would have all the exclusives from PlayStation and Xbox overall, but then you would also have those archives of stuff that you can dip into. And I wonder whether Xbox, let's say, turns into a Netflix where they're rotating stuff more frequently, or they build up the archive the way that Amazon have, where they've just thrown money at every single company to some degree, so that if you randomly think of a Capcom game, it might be on Spartacus or it might be on PlayStation, but it'll definitely be on Xbox.
Well, like there was, do you remember Devil May Cry? Yes. The new one that was on Game Pass. That's how I played that. I think I can't remember if it was straight away or not, but I didn't buy that game because I waited like say maybe a week and it was already there. So it's so weird how they just pick and choose what comes in and out.
Well, that's the thing. I think like overall, like that's what's so fascinating about it. Not to make it about PlayStation again, but it is like, you know, right now we are mapping out a future of, obviously we see what Xbox are doing. Game Pass is obviously the thing they've put, you know, over $70 billion into now because you have all the Bethesda stuff. And then on the Sony side, you have Spartacus, Nintendo. At the minute, they have Nintendo Switch Online, but they just added Banjo-Kazooie. They're nowhere near like, you know, modern. They're not going to put out Splatoon 3 on their Nintendo Switch Online. But to reset it to when things broke last week before we go forward again, Ben Roy, we've not talked about it that much since the initial reaction. Where are you overall on the thoughts of whether this is good for the industry, whether it's good for Xbox and all the IP that have suddenly been hoovered up?
Look, I don't know. There seems to be two camps. The sort of cheering on, like you see the way, like the cheering on something, sort of like, the sort of like, oh, I'm a bit skeptical sort of thing like that. And I had, and this part in between, it's always in between, but I'm just being a bit blunt there. But I'm a bit worried, not worried, but they just have so much money, man. And they can do, it's kind of just do what they want. And then after a while, even if that, like a Microsoft would put out a bad product, how badly would they be punished when they got so much in the churn coming out? The Disney comparison is like close. I know it's not a monopoly yet. And where we have someone like Bethesda were obviously in some sort of trouble where they were trying to ship their games out to whoever would take them. And there were probably a lot more behind the scenes thing and go in. And like, they're one of the biggest sort of like independent publishers, no, like bar Activision at the time. But with Activision, it's just a sheer, it's just like you get to the end of the film, The Blob, when it's just now consuming a whole town rather than two or three humans in like a hospital, and it's just getting bigger and bigger, and there's more and more consequences with it. And like, how many more times can you purchase things? And I'm not saying like, oh, you've pulled that, so that's now over here. It's more just like, with a lot of corporations, things just get bigger and bigger. And how is 68 billion a quantifiable number that is being used? And you know what I mean? Like,
well, so just to fold into what you're about to say, but like, as a gut feeling question, this can go to Josh after you, but like, gut feeling, do you think this promotes creativity or restricts creativity? Because you see the Disney Plus version, it's the safest bet ever over and over again, but you would assume that Phil Spencer at the top, it would open up creativity, but it could go either way.
It's weird, right? Because I would love to see just like equal competition the whole time. And I hate almost in a way where like it goes backwards and forwards in a way. I feel like this generation might be a bit more even, even though it is. And even though there's more PlayStation 5s being sold than Xboxes still, like this, it's just weird how it's just like Microsoft have never really made anything like you don't really feel like you have Microsoft games that have been sort of brought in. But of course they turned Halo, well, they were probably instrumental in turning Halo from like a tactical game into a first person shooter. They acquired Gears off Epic. Everything seems to be brought in, and I don't know, like I share the sentiment with some people out there where like I'd like to see them just make something new from like the ground up. And I know there's a billion Halo games they made new and all this sort of thing they made new, but like a new thing from nothing. And I only just worry about that they just try to buy things where they would like try to buy Nintendo back in the day, because why start a new garden when we can go to someone's allotment and nick their seeds? You know what I mean?
Josh, what do you think on whether it restricts or allows more creativity?
Honestly, man, I'm going to have to sort of wait and see. Like initially, when it comes to Activision in particular, on a case by case basis, I think, you know, there's no way they can make Activision's production process more restrictive. Like that was the most restrictive thing ever. Yep. They focused on like three or four franchises, had all of their studios working on Call of Duty at one point. It's like inherently by being taken over, you have to assume that's going to lead to more creativity. That's going to lead to studios like High Moon, Raven, being able to develop games outside of the Call of Duty fan base, outside of even IPs that Activision own. Maybe they can create their new IPs and work on new things. So in that case, I do think it's going to lead to more creative games within the industry. But overall, I think the jury's out, and I am a little bit worried just because of the fact that, you know, we like Microsoft now. We like Phil Spencer at the moment. At the moment, he's making all the right decisions, but I just have to worry about what happens when Phil Spencer is gone from the company and someone comes in and they find themselves overseeing all of Activision Blizzard, all of Bethesda. And if you get another Don Matrick at the helm, that's so much of the industry, so many different franchises and developers suddenly stifled, you know what I mean? So it's very almost like apocalyptic and maybe even cynical, but we know how rare Phil Spencer is, right? We know how rare he is as a creative and a producer in this industry. And it's like, there are only so many of him. So I worry only for the long term, but in the short term, I do think we will get more creative stuff.
That's my thing, is I think that, I don't like Microsoft, but I do like Phil Spencer. And I think that, but also I don't think that he's, the way that Xbox have managed their first party stuff, I kind of think it's insane that Halo Infinite, was delayed so last minute. And then the version that came out was so just cobbled together across the year. All the different stories that came out, and then shaving 2/3 of the game off so they could hit the release date and everything else. And you compare that to, you know, the way that even Horizon Forbidden West's new gameplay and the way that that stuff is coming out. And yes, there's a PlayStation formula, but it allows for like polish and focus and things that aren't seemingly there in the Xbox family. Like they own all this stuff, but they don't have an overall Xbox mark yet. And I think that might come over time, or it should come over time. But that's the thing. I'm putting all my faith in Spencer, and I wonder just how much he's trying to become like a Miyamoto, or become someone who you can put faith in as a creative who's also got a history in coding and branding and everything else. And maybe that's how Xbox gets a real through-line identity. But at the same time, you don't want that taking over, because then everything becomes the same again.
Totally. I mean, you know, I can sit here and I can champion some of the things that Xbox has done. You know, Game Pass, we talk about it all the time. We all are in unanimous agreement that
online
that is a
gaming
good thing. Yeah, online Xbox gaming, of course. But like you said there, when it comes to Phil Spencer and, you know, everyone else at Xbox's overview and handling of their biggest franchises, like you said, you know, the Master Chief Collection, Halo Master Chief Collection, that was a mess. Halo Infinite was obviously, you know, famously delayed, and even now it's kind of been cobbled together, even though they have got most of it locked down. It's still overdue. Like, that is just a fact. Gears of War 5, in my opinion, is really, really good. That's the one franchise I think has continued to go from strength to strength despite losing the original developers. But you look at other stuff, it's like we haven't had a Fable in so long. You know, we've Forza Horizon, that series has been going strong, but where's like regular Forza? Like, why do we have a Forza Motorsport even now announced for the next
Forza 7 was full of microtransactions as well. Like, they let that get into one of their first party things.
Yeah, totally. So I look at this and I look at like the successes they've had, and I look at the failures they've had internally, and I kind of see them spreading that out to Bethesda and now to Activision Blizzard. And I'm like, your hit ratio isn't actually that strong when it comes to the games.
No.
And that's what kind of has me divided a little bit, because I'm like, I want to hope that this investment of the future is going to be worth it. You know, when they announced they were buying developers like Obsidian, I was like, that's great. When they announced they were getting Bethesda, I was like, that's interesting. Now they've got Activision, but these things are so far in the future that we're not going to see how they roll out or the quality of them for a long, long time. Even like the developers they bought, like Obsidian, years ago now, haven't released a proper big AAA Xbox exclusive, you know what I mean? So these things take so long to come out, and I feel like every single year we come in and we're like, Microsoft are making great plans for the future, but when are those plans going to come home, you know what I mean? Like, when are those plans going to amount to tangible, hopefully high quality products? That's my question.
Well, I kind of just drop this in. I was watching the Horizon footage this morning, Forbidden West, and I was like, you know what, like, we talk about future plans and, oh my god, all these different things can happen, but then you actually look at something coming together, this top tier AAA production that obviously is, you know, beholden to the Sony formula, beholden to the PlayStation formula. But I sort of had this thought in my head. I was like, all these bit, like, business deals raise eyebrows, games turn heads, and I was like, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, I was just looking at Horizon going, like, this is something to be actually genuinely excited for. I'm going to get hands-on with this in a few weeks. It's not years away, and I know that Sony are reliable to at least execute on that formula. But overall, just to sort of also fold in the fact, because you mentioned, you know, or we've all mentioned the fact that they don't have you know, like, real huge amazing top tier stuff in the same way, or they haven't for a long time. Are you happy with the Xbox brand versus the way that it felt across the 360 era? Because part of me, like, kind of can't believe that they are nowhere near firing on all the cylinders game-wise as they were across the 2000s. Like, Gears 5's great, like, Halo Infinite's solid enough gameplay-wise, but you compare it to the 2000s, and it's all the IPs that you just mentioned before that were having multiple installments, and they were coming out sequentially, and the 360 was dominating. And they're nowhere near that, but I could be way wrong. Ben Roy, what do you think?
I feel like Game Pass makes games less special in my eyes. I don't know why. I feel like, because financially, it doesn't seem like that much of a... I'm not that financially interested. Yes, you're paying for Game Pass, but there's always sort of thing going on here. And I enjoy some of the pillars of Microsoft, but they're getting, like, a bit long in the tooth, where you just sort of, like, know what to expect from them. Whereas, say, Horizon Forbidden West, where PlayStation... as much as I don't feel like this Game Pass model in the future can, like, harness quality in such a way. Maybe it can, but, like, probably not as, like, you see how many games are going to come out of these shoes. Like, how frequently can you have, like, say, 8 out of 10 bangers, 9 out of 10 bangers? And not everything's, like, down to, like, numbers and how excellent it is. And there should be, like, games for, like, all spectrums of everything, and, like, from, like, an unpacking to a Wolfenstein when you're ripping in something's face off. But it's weird that I feel like they're going to get there, and it's going to... You can't not get there with the amount of studios they have now consumed in a blob-like fashion. But I think it's coming. And, like, last generation was, like... it was, like, Operation Health, like, it was in Rainbow Six. They took, like, a whole season just to fix the game. And
yeah,
Microsoft have taken a whole, like, generation to fix the brand. And somewhere... we have the Final Order going to be headed up by Don Matrick, ready to strike at the end of the Xbox Series X generation, when they then own everything and it's all sort of going. But it's
really... That's the thing, is it going to take another whole generation for them to get all their cards in a row? I think the next
you're going to have
years...
the Wolfensteins.
Yeah.
Wolfenstein's going to be coming soon, no doubt, right? And then you've got all these other sort of, like, games that are piling on from Bethesda, and I don't know, but yeah, it would take a generation to get like a Singularity 2, maybe.
I love how much we've been mentioning Singularity. I love the fact that it's getting a spotlight back on it after like 10 plus years or whatever. But yeah, I wonder, like, that whole thing about like the idea of, because we're associating like big, you know, top tier AAA stuff. The marker for that is largely what Sony have put together. It's The Last of Us, it's potentially the Red Dead Redemptions, it's the big opulent crazy titles that Xbox haven't really done. Gears 5 is quite close to it, I guess. But I wonder if the Game Pass model, because you hired Jim Ryan out there a couple of years ago saying that the Game Pass model or a monthly model doesn't allow for the sort of productions that they are putting together. And I wonder if that's the thing that PlayStation leans on. And I wonder if Game Pass, because it is more dip in, dip out, you know, you're getting sort of 8 games a month, whatever it is, if they start skewing towards shorter, you know, pick up and play type stuff that isn't as reliant on 20, 30 hour stories, and they leave that stuff to PlayStation, because that's what like is more associated with PlayStation, and maybe Xbox can capitalize more on straight gameplay stuff, like Halo Infinite approach to something. I just wonder if they have potentially have to have some way to distinguish themselves studio-wise, like creative-wise.
Just sort of going back to your question about like where we...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Find Xbox Now, Scott. Like for me, because I essentially sat out the last generation, the Xbox One generation, you know, every single time I booted up my Xbox One, it felt like a chore. Like I didn't jive with Halo 5. I didn't really love Gears 4. And the only thing I did love on that machine was Gears 5, which came, you know, right at the very end of the generation. So compared to that, like I'm now excited to boot up my Series X. Like when I put that thing on, I know I'm going to have a good time. I know there's going to be an experience there for me, and I don't dread it in the same way that I did before. Time Splitters 2, Time Splitters Future Perfect, man. There's a lot of good games in there. But I think looking forward to this year and some of the releases they do have, you know, from Bethesda especially, you've got Redfall from Arkane, you've got Starfield obviously coming in November. I think that this year, hopefully, will be when we see a lot of their plans coming to fruition. You know, they've got a strong year ahead of them. They've got Game Pass in place now. They've got Halo Infinite out, and they've got exclusives coming at the end of this year for the Series X exclusively. And because of that, I don't think they're at the 360 level, but they're far and above where they were, you know, at the start of the last generation.
True. Yeah.
And they live in my head much more than they ever have for the past 8 years or whatever. So in that respect, I think that they're on the up and they're in a place where personally I'm excited to be an Xbox fan as much as I am a PlayStation fan, even though I still think PlayStation has the edge when it comes to the games and the things to look forward to all year round.
So let's run down what the devs are working on, and we'll get to some more. We'll get back to some wider questions again, because I sort of just did a roundup of the biggest first party devs. I mean, obviously there's so much stuff that's just been acquired that's going to become first party, whatever. But I'll run these things down. Obviously, 343 are going to be indebted to Halo for likely the rest of their lives, considering it's called Halo Infinite. And there's a lot more to plug into that game, maps-wise and gameplay-wise and fixes and monetization, everything else. I think they will only continue being the Halo studio. Bethesda are doing Starfield. Obsidian are making Avowed. Ninja Theory, Hellblade 2. Rare are making Everwild, which I forgot got announced back in like 2018 or something.
Oh my God, yeah.
The next big Rare game, even though Sea of Thieves has seen a bit of a resurgence, which takes some of the assets back onto that. But they're making whatever Rare's next game is, and it's called Everwild for now. Playground are making the reboot of Fable. The Coalition are rumored to be doing a Gears of War Master Chief Collection style version of all those old games, but it's still out in the wild whether or not all of them have been reskinned again, because obviously there's the Ultimate Edition of the original game, and I wonder if they do that for 2 and 3. And Turn 10, who are the original Forza developers, are rebooting Forza. So there's whatever that thing is. And then obviously you've got the Activision side that they just acquired. You've got Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Overwatch 2, Diablo 4, and potentially World of Warcraft coming to Xbox. But that last one is just something that I added on in terms of it coming to Xbox, because I feel like, why wouldn't they at this point? But that's a lot of stuff. Like, it's not, I don't think, nothing, obviously there's some things in there, like Gears and Fable, that have that old school pull. But I feel like in terms of overall mainstream, oh my God-ness, PlayStation potentially has more of that this year. Like, obviously God of War, obviously Horizon, the rumored stuff, Metal Gear Solid Remake, whatever. They have more circling in the game space, whereas like it seems like Microsoft are kind of just in the background planning, just planning and planning and planning. And then like these things will slowly come together.
You say that, and I think that's certainly true when it comes to commercial success. You know, the likes of Horizon, the likes of God of War, you know, the likes of Gran Turismo this year are going to sell gangbusters, whether they are masterpieces or not. Mm-hmm. But when I look at that lineup, and you know, some of the games
it's
you
stellar.
Mentioned, Scott, yeah. I find myself more drawn to some of them because a lot of them are kind of, because they're unknown quantities, you know what I mean? We talk about Starfield being an interesting thing coming at the end of this year, and it's going to be fascinating to pick apart whether it's good or whether it's not, because it's Bethesda's first big RPG, single-player RPG, in like 7 years or whatever.
Then first you've got, new like IP I said, decades
totally.
As well.
Yeah, decades. Then we've got, like I said, you know, Arkane's vampire game coming out. We've got, hopefully we see more from Obsidian's Avowed. We've got Stalker 2, which isn't first party, but it is exclusive to the Xbox. That's coming in December. And all of these games that they've got for this year and going into next year, I look at them and I want to talk about them more than some of the PlayStation stuff that's coming, just because they are kind of more unknown and they feel like they could go either way. They might be a masterpiece or they might completely crash and burn.
Bigger genre variety as well. Like, I mean, like, that's the whole thing. They're building a platform for all these different games to be on, rather than saying it has to go through a certain Xbox filter to have that mark on it, which is very much what PlayStation exclusives or PlayStation first party stuff is doing. Benro, what do you think about the future of, I guess, how both companies' lineups feel?
It's weird because I think I echo a lot of what Josh was saying, like, where the other things from Microsoft that are coming are newer. Yeah, they feel newer to me. You mentioned Gears. I feel like Gears is still like years out, and I reckon after like these little rumors that are floating about, we should get a Gears Phoenix collection. I'm going to call it the Phoenix collection.
That'd be good. The Durag collection. I'll take that.
Yeah, and update the 2 and 3. Please update 2 and 3 just so they look even more beautiful. But as with like now, we know God of War is definitely coming to PlayStation this year with that graphic they put out. Say definitely, hopefully. Horizon Sight, I'm gonna enjoy, but as I keep saying, I just wait for it to be here and then I'll play it. And then I'll sort of decide there. Stray is still probably gonna be the game of the year when you just play.
I love how much you love Stray. I'm just, still there for it.
I can't wait to get on Stray day one, like midnight launch. Let's go. let's get the squad going. Let's take out all these alley cats.
Cat squad. But
I really want to see what Starfield's doing. And I almost don't think Stalker 2 is going to even hit this year now. Like, just with all this other stuff that's going on in Ukraine, like, that's probably pushed it back as it is. I feel like Starfield is the one, the sort of the one game from which I'm sort of like looking at it. But then we enter in what used to be free time, so we're probably going to have like another one or two announcements for the year. But the games, we still have time for games to be announced and dropped, right? And I'm counting on that to sort of like spice up the year a bit more. Like, Extraction isn't really doing it for me yet, but I'll play some more of that.
It is a time. But yeah, I think overall, the point I was making before is that I think it's like a mindset thing. I think that they are potentially not as bothered about making Xbox exclusives that feel, you know, like signature. It's more about ensnaring so many different properties, so many different IPs, developers, whatever, into the Xbox brand, the Xbox platform, and then allowing so many ideas to happen. And if they fall sideways, if it becomes a Halo Infinite, if something goes wrong, then that's kind of on the dev. Like, I'm assuming the way that things have been run across the last few years, because obviously there was the thing with Scalebound, where when Phil Spencer stepped in and looked at how far Platinum had gotten, it wasn't far enough, long enough to hit certain milestones, and Phil was the one who cancelled that, did an interview saying he was very upset that he had to do it, but he didn't see it coming together. So I wonder if they give the companies that they are bringing in more space. You can do whatever you want, you're going to be on Game Pass, you're going to be on the Xbox platform, and we're not going to interfere hardly at all. Whereas on the PlayStation side, you do see that homogeneity between the way everything plays. Like, you know, there's a lot of shared components.
I feel like that's going to happen more, especially some of the Activision stuff. Like, you hear rumblings of, like, say, what if Call of Duty goes every 2 years or something, Let's crowbar Raven out of there, right out of there. And then, I don't know, there's Jedi Outcast 3 or whatever. Jedi Knight 3 never got made, so that's always floating in my brain, even though it wouldn't get made now. But someone just make it for me. And then, like, as I said, Singularity, Raven out of hand, and Wolfenstein at some point. Maybe they jump around some other things, or maybe they make something brand new, or brand new things are always something that I would like to see. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that there with the Activision side, maybe you crowbar a few out there and you get another like Spyro game or a Crash game at some point.
I wonder, like, overall what they think their value proposition, how that's communicated, what are the optics of all of these moves? Do they realize how much people are talking about the exclusivity side of it and assuming there's going to be a level of crowbarred game design in there? Or are they going, no, we're allowing all these ideas to exist?
If half of all the studios made a game each in like the next few years, that's already a gabillion exclusives that I'm not that good at math, so I can't look at it at all like that. And then after you've done that first wave, you see how it goes. Because I'm saying this is like someone who's like thinking millions in advance or billions in advance as far as Microsoft's concerned. But you think of like when you've sort of wiped out, say, like some things like, say, not to shoot on it, but like a Bobby Kotick, how much he would get in the like benefits. You take a bonus out of there, that's a whole game sort of thing. And then you can, I'm not saying everything in like money is one-to-one and sort of like that, but you would hope that you can do a spread and then sort of like go from there, get these other Bethesda games out that
there's a lot of money being hoovered up by that guy.
Yeah, like the Wolfenstein. I'm going to keep saying Wolfenstein until they give me Wolfenstein 3. That when that sort of floats out, and then how long until, like, I don't know, Phil buys EA and then FIFA and Madden are only on Xbox from now? Could you imagine a dystopian future like that? Or we get a super Microsoft car and then we have like the Master Chief racing.
I'll
crash.
Take that. Give me that. Give me Bionic Commando in a little kart racer. But yeah, I'll throw one more question in and then pass it back to Josh, because I wonder how experimental they'll get. Like, obviously, everything's up in the air right now. A lot of different, fan wish list stuff doing the rounds. And I said this back when they acquired Bethesda, but the idea of Master Chief and Doom crossing over, or Master Chief and the Doom guy crossing over, is there going to be Doom DLC or Doom skins in Halo Infinite? And it's like, do you think that they'll get experimental with that stuff? Like, they have so much IP, so much potential for crossover. Do you think we'll get a Bethesda and Obsidian RPG? Do you think we'll get a Tim Schafer returning to do a point and click? Because they've just acquired King's Quest, and like, they could do like an old Sierra style point and click adventure with Tim Schafer. Because the only reason he did Broken Age through crowdfunding was because he said that the industry doesn't support it anymore, but it would under the Game Pass model. And like I said, you could potentially have, you could have Infinity Ward doing Doom, or like Infinity Ward helping out with Halo. You could have a Call of Duty crossover with Halo. I wonder if they'll get absolutely balmy with that stuff, and that'll be the thing that really turns heads.
I think they've got to, you know, have those crossover events happening, you know, share everything in the Xbox family to generate hype, because, you know, people love the IPs that they love. They love the characters that they love, and they love having them interact more than anything. For me, I would suspect that as soon as this deal is formalized next year, I think Microsoft will come out with some kind of event, and then, no matter how far off they are in the future, announce a new Crash, announce a new Tony Hawk's, right, announce a new Call of Duty exclusive. Just reel them off. Have them set in stone for some point in the future. Doesn't matter if you don't have gameplay for a lot of them. Like, as long as you've got like a little bit of a sting, a little bit of a title, I think that just sets them up for like more or less the entire generation going forward. So I do feel like they will do something like that, and they kind of did it with Bethesda once that was formalized. You know, they came out and announced new games, they re-announced Starfield and stuff like that. When it comes to a level of creativity, though, I'm a little bit torn, because like you said, I do think we'll get a diversity of genres now. I do feel we'll get, you know, point and click games, we'll get genres that weren't getting any love at Bethesda or Activision before Microsoft acquired them. However, I think the reality of a $70 billion deal just means that, you know, we're not suddenly going to get an RTS Call of Duty. You know, we're going to get a Call of Duty that is still trying to sell as much as possible.
Tactics.
Yeah, and make as much money as it did before. Because, you know, we talk about publishers like EA and Activision and stuff being beholden to shareholders, but like, that's just the reality of running a company. And, you know, some people aren't as aggressive with that stuff as others, and you like to think Microsoft isn't. But at some point, they're going to have to justify why they invested this much money in this company and everyone else that they've invested in. And I do feel like, you know, they're going to be compelled to continue to make these big, broad AAA games that appeal to everyone. Just, I hope that they balance that with, you know, the occasional creative thing, or allow one team like Tango or something to make The Evil Within 3 whilst we get The Elder Scrolls 6. You know what I mean? Like, as long as there's balance, I think that will be good overall.
That is the thing. Like, they've made this insane deal, and you bought a very specific thing that makes a lot of money in a very specific way. And like, Ben Roy made a very good point that like the Kotick's salary was a sizable percentage of their overall income, which is about to get freed up halfway through next year when the deal hopefully closes, or should close. And that does potentially free up so much stuff, whether it's that you reward the people who have been there long term, or you do put it back into the games themselves or whatever. I hope that we get a bit more insight into all the conversations that Phil Spencer talking about having. He said he wants to sit down with all these different teams, potentially greenlight all sorts of different ideas, and I hope we get to see little teasers of what that's going to be. There's enough insiders doing the rounds these days online anyway that I'm sure all sorts of things will come out. A final question, or final quick talking point, is just the general idea of how Game Pass might work on other platforms. Do you guys think that it would be you know, like an app thing? You would just have it on the cross media bar. You're on the PS5, you just see the Game Pass icon, you go on there, and it's all Xbox first and second party stuff? Because you couldn't do anything that's third party that's also on the PlayStation Store, because you would buy it from the PlayStation Store. I think as much as Sony might let Game Pass on the console, they'd have to restrict it down to, you know, you go on the app and it's like, okay, you can play Halo, or maybe you can stream stuff. Maybe it's a stream only thing, which I was going to say, that's the only way you could get it on Nintendo, because in fact, hardly any of this stuff would run natively at all. It would have to be streaming. So yeah.
Well, that's the question, isn't it? I have no idea what Game Pass on PlayStation would look like, because, you know, you say there some of the third party stuff that PlayStation is selling can't be on Game Pass, but is that necessarily true when we've got EA Play and stuff on PlayStation, and you know, we can still buy EA games separately from that? You know, you got the Ubisoft thing, you got all of these other streaming services. So it's like, I don't know what it would look like. For me, if we're going back to the Netflix and Amazon Prime thing, it would be what Ben Roy said earlier about Amazon Prime having, you know, things that you can plug in, like Shudder or MGM or what have you. Maybe Sony just gets an Xbox version of that, where it's like, this is what's on Game Pass. He's maybe treat it as another subscription rather than the subscription. You know, like Xbox is very much like, this is the best subscription service you can get, this is the only one that matters. Sony might put it on their console, but just kind of have it there alongside the WWE network. You know what I mean? Just be like, there it is as an option if you want it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine them pushing it, you know, big on the front screen, but you might just have it on there.
I never thought of the coding side of it, but yeah, there's no way that you could get anything like and download it and play it on a PlayStation unless Microsoft/Xbox had a separate PlayStation coded version of Halo to access through the Game Pass app. Like that, I don't know.
Well, no, you would just download it and like it would just go into its own little box, wouldn't it? Like, say, when you play the 360 games that are downloaded, they go into an emulator. So I guess it would just be like, as a layman's person, just making another little partition on the hard drive. And then that's like the sort of Game Pass petition.
That's what I mean, though. That's to run Xbox hardware inside the PlayStation to run those games.
What if, though, it's a gimmick of Game Pass comes over, but the Xbox exclusives don't? So you just get, like, the third-party stuff or, you know, like, the Outer Wilds or Unraveled and what have you. But, like, the big AAA Xbox exclusives like Gears, they remain on Xbox.
That would be Xbox's a better version. Way to do it, because I guess they already have... For a second, I was thinking it would just be all just be license fee stuff. Like, in terms of the way the code works, the files are the same, but you're paying for them in a different way. Like, you access some third-party... game and the fees just get split differently whether or not you got it through the app or the PlayStation store.
I disagree. I think you'd have, if they do these deals, they would, you'd think Jim would like, well, we almost had Gears 3 on the PS3 back in the day. There's a version of it out there that keeps rearing its head. I think you could bring them over. I think Microsoft would put the work in if that meant they could get their foot in the door. But then it's the thing of once companies have foot in the door, like once those lines are crossed, even though it's not some sort of like console wars, but then like you let the Microsoft influence bleed into your sort of eco, how long until they just start sucking away the life from that and drawing more people over, where it's like, well, I could get they do more of the deals where you could just you only pay for Game Pass, you pay like £30 a month dollars a month to Microsoft, and they give you an Xbox and you just keep paying that with no tax on top, and you just keep paying that hard 30, which includes your Game Pass. You're basically getting Game Pass for free, and to the point when you have a machine, it's like, well, why do I need this PlayStation 5 all this? Why do I need this PlayStation 6? The DualSense, get out of there, mate. I'll have these other
I've controllers. Seen Sense, thank you. Yeah. I think that they, I mean, they've got that at the minute where you can pay monthly and for an Xbox over time. That would be a hell of a way for them to siphon people away from PlayStation if they started giving you over, like you had a Game Pass subscription where you're buying it through the app on a PlayStation, but over time they give you the console because that's a version of what they have now anyway. And then you go, well, I might as well just go across onto Xbox.
Drinking their milkshake.
I know this is all hypothetical, but I don't see Sony, the company that we know, ever allowing Game Pass on their machine. Like, this really? Is the company that didn't want to do mods. It's the company that didn't want to do crossplay and still kind of kicks up a fuss now. They allow it, but only in like half a form. You know, they allow it for some games. They can't be asked for others. They're so protective of their little ecosystem. I don't mean that in a bad way, by the way, saying a little.
No, they are.
Way. They are so protective of their ecosystem. I just don't see them. Don't you start, I get enough of that in the comments. Then I just don't see them opening it up in any capacity in the immediate future to Microsoft. I think they would rather take the PR hit of not having some games on their machine than being like having to concede that. Maybe in a few years' time, but not immediately, I don't think.
I hope they play hardball in that way, but I also, there's so much money on the table if they want to give up the Call of Duty money. But then I mean, maybe by then they'll have a first-party shooter franchise that they can kind of put up there, and it'll do certain things better than what the reason you go to Call of Duty, and it's backed by PlayStation, and it has the production value, etc., etc. I think Sony belong to the Church of Barrow. They go when they're pushed, which is what I'll end the podcast on. This has been the World Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Look, when are we going to get Glover 2?
Someday, mate. And Josh Brown.
I would block that with everything I had. I would make sure it did not happen despite you. Goodbye.
That joke was from 1927, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.